Bitch. This is Mia Young,
Alex Salmon,
Ian Ruin,
Sophia Papp,
and Anya Peters.
Today we are going to be talking about Chapter 3 of The Invisible Man. In class the other day, we drew a parallel between Golden Day and the human conscious, specifically about symbols of superego and id and ego within the Golden Day. We drew a parallel between superego and supercargo, being the force of order and control, and the veterans being id, who are acting upon their own wishes, and they're clinically insane because they're suffering from PTSD. And so we drew basically those parallels in class, and from that discussion, we have some questions we want to analyze. First and foremost, why, when Supercargo is in white, why is he representing order in Golden Day, and what does this reveal about society in general? And then why are the black veterans chosen? Why are they representatives of id? What does that reveal about society? And finally, what happens when this balance is disrupted? So to start, why is Supercargo and white? Why is he order? Why is he superego? And what does this reveal?
I think this may be a more obvious analysis of it, but obviously white kind of in that society especially like defines order, defines control and power.
Even in our society too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But in, you know, like they put him in white to make him seem more intimidating to the id or the veterans. And once, but the veterans still don't treat him with complete respect because they know his true colors, I guess. You can't see my air quotes, but they're there. So, like, in here, you can hear them, you can, like, see them talking kind of, like, trash about Supercargo, but they don't do anything because he's still in that white uniform. Okay, he still holds that power.
So there's, like, a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once he's stripped of that, you know, he kind of, like, the superego kind of, like, lets go, like, lets his guard down by, like, going off with the prostitutes. And once he's, and he, you know, he comes out without a shirt on, so, like, his true colors are kind of, like, out in the open more.
Yeah, and it's like they don't see him as nearly as intimidating as before.
Right, because he doesn't have that white mask on, that white shield, then they kind of like...
Like he's just like them now, so he feels
so
he
I'm wondering, like, when the Invisible Man acts and goes to school and tries to gain the respect of white people by trying to meet their standards, is that like wearing a white uniform?
Yeah.
And...
In a way.
I think so. Do you think so?
Like, I think so. In a way, he's putting on a show. He's acting the way that these white people want him to act.
Yeah,
and he's
sure.
Yeah, he's taking, like, the responsibility in, like, the ways that they're expecting him to act. He's putting on that kind of for, like, a show.
So I guess right now, the Invisible Man's superego maybe is definitely restraining his id.
Yeah.
But why is white... Why are there white standards in society? Like, what is... I'm just wondering, like how can it be that an entire, like, let's say, like, nation acts upon the standards of one race, and especially an invisible man?
Yeah, why is white, like, the predominant, like,
why is white
besides, obviously, like, racism, but how does it happen that even, like, the black veterans see the white...
Color, just not even, like, skin tone, but just color in general.
It's a color,
what it represents, but
On page 82, the quote, let's give him some order, I think kind of speaks to what you guys are talking about. Order is kind of the theme here once he takes off that white shirt.
But that's ironic because their order is complete chaos.
Right.
Which is what they were supposed to symbolize in the first place, being in an insane asylum and war veterans, I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess this has to overlap with our question. So, like, if the white is order, why is it chosen that black veterans are id? And it's just, like, when you say, like, let's give him some order, so it sounds like they're defining the terms of superego now. They're like, oh, wait, this can be our order. This can be what society lives up to. And I wonder if...
That's like, why is it black veterans based off of that quote?
And, like, why is it when they're giving order, why does it fall into chaos?
I think it's more, like, it might be a little more hard to see this, but, like, obviously, like, I feel like we took it in a way because we're the ones discussing, like, the triangle and, like,
mm-hmm.
we're putting supercargo as the superego because of the control, and we're putting the veterans as id, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because they're portrayed as such chaotic characters in the book. Like, you know, like, the way Ellison explains them, they're just, like...
Yeah.
You know, all over the place.
It's like
the way
animalistic, almost. Like, yeah. they're mm-hmm. the like id. Id represents your basic needs, like what you basically want. Like,
so right. I guess in the context of Invisible Man and in this time period, it would be interpreted that white people are needed to control black people because mm-hmm. they're inferior. So that was the mm-hmm. social thought of the time.
Exactly.
And this could be like kind of metaphor for that.
Yeah. For sure.
Right.
And then it's like. This is a hypothetical. Mm. Well, when the id takes control,
everything goes to
exactly
mm-hmm. it goes to chaos because they need that white power leading
and
them.
And that's
what
why
way
they chose black veterans, because to show like it's almost like in the book, like it's proving that point.
Yeah, like the stereotypical point.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I thought an interesting quote about the veterans. This is Invisible Man saying, "I can never believe that they were really patient. Sometimes it appeared as though." Oh, this is on page 74. Okay. "Sometimes it appeared as though they played some vast and complicated game with me and the rest of the school folk, a game whose goal was laughter and whose rules and subtleties I could never grasp." And it's like the thought that the veterans are playing a game
mm-hmm.
is that do they understand this balance and are they just like manipulating it to how they want?
Mm.
Or what do you think about?
I think
this
they might
quote.
Know the game, but they just, like, they can't do anything about where their place is.
Right.
So they're just messing around with him because, like,
mm-hmm.
they don't care. They don't care what his opinion
right.
is.
If you're in a game, you can only choose, like, how you're acting. You can't really change, like, yours.
It's like they're toying with him because they know...
Their position,
too. Because they know how they're going to be perceived no matter
yeah.
what.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Right. Their place is not going to change no matter
mm-hmm.
what they act towards him, so they
and
just
I,
play with them.
And
yeah.
they know, I think they almost think that they're expected to act, like, a certain way as
yeah.
well.
Right, like, oh, that's your place, you stay there.
Them. Right.
Because they can't be entirely as crazy as they're depicted.
I don't
because
think
they
are.
Because they were once, I can't find the exact quote, but it's noted that Invisible Man says, like, oh, these are, like, the doctors,
yeah,
lawyers,
it's right here.
Professionals that I once aspired to mm-hmm. be like. They're obviously intelligent men, and you can't possibly be thought that PTSD can entirely destroy intelligence. And he
right.
does have some conversations. Like, a doctor helps. He's like, I can take his pulse. I still know how to do that.
Yeah.
And so if they really are smart people, but they're maybe given an excuse to act out and to just accept, I mean, perhaps that they're more like Invisible Man in the prologue.
When you give that connection between, like, how they were once professionals and then they became this kind of, like, animalistic, like,
mm-hmm.
id form, maybe it was, like, society that changed them to form that way and be able, and, like, and act like that, because it seems like that's the path that Invisible Man had. He was going to college, and then a bunch of these life things happened where, you know, he ended
mm-hmm.
up getting expelled from this college and leaving, and then he ended up, you know, being a hateful man living in, like, this place by himself.
I was going to say they act out this way and, like, are perceived this way now because of how much control is put over them. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, after the war and everything, I'm sure they were mentally messed up, but I feel like the power of, like, even the white uniform
yeah.
has, like, completely, like, rearranged their mindset and, like, made them more crazy than they were to be if it was, like, distributed a different way. If the power was
distributed. Like, they took advantage of that, of
mm-hmm.
their PTSD and, like, low mental, like, obviously, I don't think they were completely messed up, but when you come back from a war, like, there's some things where just, like,
mm-hmm.
they
mm-hmm.
can't handle, and I think that just, like, really, like, put down, not their egos, but I forget the word, it starts with, like, a D. It really degraded them.
Mm.
And I think it really just, like you said, messed them up even more. To think that they were nothing afterwards.
Yeah, so no one's even going to give them the chance to be the person they once were.
Right. Exactly.
I definitely feel like the balance is just off throughout this whole story, you know, because you kind of see, like, in the beginning, like, the veterans are all, like, scared of this supercargo or, like, the white power kind of thing. And then it just completely switches once, like, that, like you said, mask was taken off. And then it's just, like, you know, the id kind of takes over and, like...
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If we try and put this in the context of Invisible Man's own, like, descent from a super ego-controlled id, would we say that, like, by prologue, he's more, like, selfish and id-controlled?
Exactly.
Because he definitely, like...
The mentality.
Has less regard for other people if he's like, oh, I should have killed that white man right. for fighting me.
Yeah, it almost seemed like he had less humanity.
Yeah, and he had been so beat down, and he had been, like, mm-hmm. degraded, like you had said, that he just reverted back to just being hateful and not really caring.
Right, like, he, like, oh, yeah, your realization. Like, you can kind of see the way that the white, like, society has affected him in the prologue.
And
it's
kind
of, it, like, resembles, like, how the veterans are acting now, yeah. even. Like, that whole, like, senile kind of, like,
exactly.
And crazy so maybe, attitude. Like, id can be associated with knowing you're invisible, knowing no one's gonna hold you accountable for anything,
yeah. right.
or listen to you. Mm-hmm. And so if you know that, then your id wins. Like, you yeah. just...
And, like, accepting stop, like, your you stop fate, caring, almost.
Really. And I think something fascinating is that the Golden Day, it's not only a bar, but it's an insane asylum. And two symbols
well,
of...
the veterans come from the insane asylum.
Yeah, it's not
field
an
trip
insane
asylum.
Oh, okay, right.
But it acts as if it's...
Oh, okay.
It's and kind of almost like they're pushed
for a day,
there.
It hosts
okay,
insane
like,
asylum.
Okay, they're pushed there for the field.
Yeah, for a day,
for
it's an insane asylum.
For a day, yeah. But, like, the supercargo, he holds, like, that white straitjacket.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, like, a white... That's a white symbol representing, like, insanity.
It's a threat.
Like, yeah, it's, like, a threat,
not
but
even
it's funny.
Insanity.
Yeah,
like,
on page 82.
Holding someone in to not be, like...
Who they are.
Huh. Yeah.
I thought... I was thinking of that as kind of, like, it's white, but it's also symbolizing insanity and, like, craziness. But the white, that...
the restraint.
Is,
right, yeah.
It's restraining, yeah.
Yeah.
On page 82, this is when it starts to go, you know, supercargo comes out of the room, and everyone's... starts fighting him and stuff, and it says usually he walked around threatening the men with a straitjacket, which he always carried over his arm, mm-hmm. and usually they were quiet and submissive in his presence. Mm-hmm. So I guess the straitjacket is a tool that he's used to give order, and kind of going back to our question, like, what happens when this balance is disrupted? Like, what can this straitjacket, this tool, represent in society that white people hold over black people? That's what I was thinking.
Right.
Like, what is the straitjacket symbol?
Because it's another white symbol of power.
Right.
Just
yeah.
the same as Supercargo's white t-shirt.
Because they're definitely restraining black people through laws and...
Through laws.
Through
yeah.
just
social order in
social
general.
Social order. But then they're also just... do we think they're restraining... If, like, as long as white people are the superego... Are they always going to be restrained, or?
I think that the symbolism of white in this, I think it can also mean that, like, white holds power, but they're also allowed to get away with a lot more.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which
yeah.
I'm not sure where that stems from, but it's kind of like white means you can be insane, but white also means you have the power. That's what I was kind
right.
of understanding from
mm-hmm.
with the white straitjacket, because that was clearly pointed out
mm-hmm.
as along with the symbol as the white
and
t-shirt.
And straitjackets are typically white. Mm,
typically white.
But
yeah, from what
in this
when
context,
I think of that, I
we
think
can
of
most
yeah.
accurately say
assume
that the straitjacket is a tool of the white person.
And it's
yes.
like that's
not
being
that
being
the white people themselves.
Right.
No,
it's
something
tool
used.
Okay, well, yes, as a tool, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, that's what's restraining, obviously, like, the black race. That's what's putting them...
And that's what it could represent. And once that went away is when things got out of hand. So it's, like...
Yeah.
Right.
So the mask is off.
Once that factor was, like, taken out,
mm-hmm.
like, the white...
The tool's gone.
Yeah, the tool's gone. And they, like, retaliate
they expressed,
pretty much.
Like, pent-up anger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if this were to be, like, a more larger societal context, it would almost be, like... Like, what would be the...
Like, protests
yeah,
and movements.
Yeah, protests and, like,
right.
finding a weakness in this order and balance.
Yeah.
And then having to...
Completely throwing it over.
I wonder, like, if in the long run, the veterans would be better off without Supercargo.
Mm.
I think they would be. I don't think he's mentally healthy for them, the way he...
Because they would have to hold themselves accountable.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. They're an insane asylum coming to a bar.
But the thing is, like, they know that.
After they took out Supercargo, it didn't just go, like, complete to terrible right away. Like, Hallie, the bartender, who we saw to be kind of a nice guy. You know, he did nice things.
Because he was, like, mentally stable.
Right.
Right.
And like, we saw him, like, kind of, like, take control as they all were having drinks and stuff, you know, better than when Supercargo was out.
Yeah.
But as things go crazy, I think it's really interesting. When he keeps losing Norton, I kind of see as him going through this super ego and id. He kind of starts watching the fight, and he keeps losing.
Yeah.
He keeps losing Norton. And then he'll find Norton, he'll try and focus on Norton, and that's his super ego trying to please.
And then when he keeps parts, he wants to, like, join in. There's parts where he's, he wants to, like, kick him
when he's on the ground. And I see that as, like, the kind of tug from the push and pull of the id and the super ego.
Yeah, for sure.
That's just, it did remind me. I read the Dubois criticism of Booker T. Washington, and I know you guys didn't because you guys were assigned other paragraphs. But, Dubois makes a point that there are different types of reactions to being oppressed and stuff, and especially in the context of fight for civil rights and stuff. And one of the reactions he notes is just anger and vengeance. And so we could see, it's just like a parallel I'm drawing.
Yeah.
But we can see a clear expression of that, and just their straight up. Beating him up. But sometimes you kind of need that. Like, they, Dubois mentioned that anger and vengeance being expressed in the revolution in Haiti, which is, Haiti is correct, right?
Yes.
Because we learned about it. That was known,
the Haitian revolution.
So violent and stuff. But yet, sometimes just, like, this violence is what you need.
Yeah.
It's justified. And so I wonder if,
I think this is justified.
In Golden Day, like, did they have to take him out? And
I don't know if they had to take him out, but I feel like that's almost, like, their revenge because of the way that, like, and it's in, like, not in a malicious way. Because of how he's seen to treat them. Like, the white power went to Supercargo's head, and he's not even white.
Right, he's not white. He's just representing.
They gave him that authority over these insane black
the
individuals.
The way he treated them was, like, he was a white man.
Because he's given
that
power.
He can be held as a symbol, for sure.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that the straitjacket was his way of kind of taunting them. Like, he was taunting them while saying, like, don't be too crazy. Don't act too crazy. Otherwise, you know what crazy people have to do? They have to, like, put this jacket on. And I think it was, like, just
that's almost like
a
if a black
message.
Person speaks out, like, their maybe their craziness would be saying, hey, this is not just, this is not fair.
Yeah.
The straitjacket could be like, oh my gosh, this man's insane. He's
Like, don't be too crazy.
Like,
he's
not justified. Like,
don't act
that's
crazy.
What I mean by how, like, that the white power or whatever that Supercargo held, like, completely affected their mindset. Like, that's probably what made them, like,
so pent up and
before, even more
abuse,
crazier
even
than they probably would have,
like,
been
mentally.
Yeah,
messed
exactly.
Up.
It
just
is
like
abuse.
Just like Invisible Man in the prologue.
It is. It's emotional abuse.
Emotional and some physical, I would think.
We also see, like, exactly what you guys are saying at the end of the chapter when, like, they're walking away from Doc as he's, like, talked about all these realisms.
Yeah.
And they,
like,
all go, "Oh, he's crazy."
Right.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
That's, and it's, like, kind of exactly what you guys are talking about.
You're right.
You're exactly right.
I also found it interesting that they, like, after they. The id or veterans kind of, like, beat up Supercargo. They, like, put him on the bar as, like, a, like, they displayed him as, like, a trophy. Like, this is, like, they're like, okay, we, like, we're in control now. Like,
we
did now hold the power for once.
Yeah. So
you know?
Now Golden Day is this, in this hypothetical state of, like, super ego being destroyed.
Right.
And being entirely id. So, like, your id has won. But then, in the case, I just keep thinking, like, back to, like, the Invisible Man where, like, his, we think maybe, like, oh, he's acting more selfishly now. But now it's, like, if you're invisible, the only person holding you accountable is yourself.
Right.
And so if white people were not to put restrictions and, like, have, like, if Invisible Man did not have to act a certain way for white people,
yeah.
Like, how would he act if his own, like, selfless, not selflessness, selfishness,
if he didn't put
won,
a mask on?
Like, how would he act? I don't know.
I know exactly what you mean.
I feel like Invisible Man is a good representation of, like Anne said, like, both id and super ego working.
Trying to figure out what the balance
body.
Is.
Right.
What
well,
they're going to
like,
decide.
I think he would struggle with it just when he, it showed him trying to get out of the bar, like, with what Ian was saying.
We
when
saw
he,
the literal
when
mental
he
struggle.
Wanted to fight.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, right.
I think
yeah.
he would really struggle with that, kind of, like, do I...
So that was, like, the first sign of, like, the inner conflict really expressed.
Yeah. Right, like, the devil thing is, and the angel on the shoulders.
The other thing is, like, Invisible Man isn't, like, mentally unstable yet.
No.
But he still not had yet. Those instincts because, like, deep down, he was like, these are, like...
And he still has hatred
my
deep down.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, these are my roots. Like, this... Why am I not standing up for my people? Why am I not, like, on their
like,
side?
He saw the unfairness and he was like, okay, I have to do something.
Yeah, he's starting to see the unfairness. Because in chapter one, like, I almost want to say, like, he was so ignorant to, like, the unfairness.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. like, the way he was like, well, I just want my scholarship. But I guess he's slowly already seeing, like, a source of doubt.
He even was, like, totally embarrassed.
Right.
And he still accepted all of that money from them, even though those people, those white people, were awful.
An interesting question we have to ask is, like, is order, is superego good? Like, can we say that it's good, or can it just be order? Because... if white people define their order as being the good and the chaos as being the negative, they can say, do good, follow our order.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of Invisible Man, was it good for him to be in control of and to be acting as society wished him to? Or is
for his
superego,
sake.
Is control not always good? Like,
right.
I definitely think that more, like, control all the time is not good.
No.
That's not good for anyone because, I mean, like, what happened with those veterans, they were controlled all the time by superego, more completely, like, on that extreme, and mm-hmm. when they had the chance, they completely revolted.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, like, imagine, like, a little kid sitting in a room all day. Like, if as soon as you open that door, they're going to scream, run around, try and play, like, knock stuff over. Like, I think there definitely needs to be some id within that.
I think what I'm wondering, like, is there value... in letting your id win, or in society, is there value in letting, like, I guess I would say, like, this is an oppressed minority that can really pose a threat to the social structure. Like, in order for things to change, it has to kind of fall apart first.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which we see, like, at one point we saw that expressed in the Civil War. It had to fall apart for this mm-hmm. to be rebuilt in a certain way.
I feel like it's all a risk to take. That's like, you know, like, letting your id take over, there's, like, a chance that mm-hmm. you're either going to be looked at as insane or you're going to be, like, you're going to make a difference, you know?
I think that's a very fascinating idea that you guys said. Like, it has to be for another way of thinking to be brought up. There has to be, like, complete destruction.
So they had to destroy Supercargo to redefine the terms of Golden Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I wonder, like, I don't... Because after really, the last we see of Supercargo, he's on the counter, right?
Yeah, like passed out.
And then after that, it's displayed. Just focused on Invisible Man in the upstairs, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, so we don't really get to see too much of what happens to the rest of the veterans.
But until the end, where he's trying to get Norton out of there, and they're all, like, pushing him around, and Norton passes out, like, that whole thing.
Yeah. So they've expressed their anger.
No. And then we don't really get to, like, see it afterwards, so
hectic.
Yeah. And then, oops, I keep hitting the microphone. I wonder how the doctor's dialogue connects to this, and I'm trying to find the page.
I feel like his is almost in between two.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first he's like. Yeah. Sane, and then they kind of depict him as, like, nuts.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm not like the others downstairs. I think that's what he says.
But right. I think this quote, I didn't read around the context to see, but it says, on page 95, it says, hurry, the man is as insane as the rest, Mr. Norton said.
Oh.
Just because he's talking about
the doctor
Mr.
on
Norton
that?
Was fascinated by the doctor. He wouldn't leave. The Invisible Man was trying to get him away from the start. And
just like True Blood.
He wanted to sit down. He told him to sit down.
And as soon as he started speaking, like, actual truths and actual things that started to make him uncomfortable, putting him in... I feel like he almost baited him, Doctor, into the conversation. Doctor almost baited him into the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I felt like
maybe
he,
deep down he knows the
truth. There was points where I almost felt like he was being ironic, and he was trying to explain the whole... I almost feel like he was trying to explain to them, like, the Golden Day and superego, and, like, trying to explain to him to a sense of, like, what, you know, why they aren't going to change, and why he knows they're not going to listen to him.
Right.
And that's why he was laughing, but also crying when they went away, because he was laughing because he knew it wouldn't change, but he's also crying because of the sad fact.
So maybe it can be said, like, id is the truth that we can't deny, but when we see it, we don't want to see it, so we didn't obviously deny it.
It's ignored. But
and so
I feel like as soon as he started putting, because he didn't even, like, put the white race down. He just kind of, like, hinted at it. And I feel like as soon as he did that, Norton, like, flipped a switch and was like, oh, this guy's nuts. Like, just because he, that's even, like,
accusing him of
a mindset something that he has. Like, it's like,
like, that he could ever think that.
Yeah.
It's insane.
What was the other questions that we had?
Do we want to...
Yes.
Okay. Any finishing comments we want to talk about before we wrap up?
That's
I think we covered our questions. Yeah, yeah, I mean, there's endless more. If we really wanted to analyze, we could say we would have to analyze, like, this power dynamic between Norton and Invisible Man as a god. And
there's so many different aspects.
It's very dynamic. It keeps changing.
We can talk about it a different time.
A different time. Okay, we've hit our limit.
All right, well, thanks for listening to the EAH podcast. This is Mia Young.
Alex Aubin.
Ian Roy, hope you liked it. Chiz Daddy.
why? You're not.
This is Sophia Papp.
And Anya Peters.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.
What's wrong with you?